This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin today's show with the latest in our series of conversations with the candidates running to be the next governor of Massachusetts. Today, Attorney General Martha Coakley. She's been the state's top prosecutor since 2007, overseeing a number of high-profile legal cases as Attorney General.
And a fresh WBUR poll out just yesterday shows her maintaining a big lead in the governor's race. But it's a crowded Democratic field with former head of Medicare, Donald Berwick, and state treasurer Steve Grossman in the mix as well. And on the Republican side, Charlie Baker is raising more money than his three Democratic rivals. In June, Baker brought in about $400,000 compared to Coakley's $173,000.
And joining us now is Attorney General Martha Coakley. Welcome back to the program. Good to have you.
Good afternoon and happy 4th of July weekend to everybody.
Happy holiday weekend to you as well. So let's talk about last week's U.S. Supreme Court decision that struck down the Massachusetts buffer zone law that kept protesters back from clinics that provided abortions. The justices said the law, which you defended, violated free speech rights. I'd love your response to that. Should you have seen that decision coming?
Well, first of all, I disagree with the justices, and I think that they have said we don't like this buffer zone, but they gave us some roadmaps and some room to go back to the drawing board to protect the important interests that are at stake here, not just First Amendment, which we highly protect here in Massachusetts, but also the right of everybody, particularly women, to seek unimpeded access to good reproductive health care. We made, I thought, good arguments about that balance. We didn't think that we would get this ruling, and we're going to continue to fight to make sure that women's rights are protected.
Well, let me ask you about that. You appeared yesterday with Governor Patrick calling for a legislative response to the Supreme Court decision. What's your best idea for what state lawmakers should do that would balance access to clinics and the right to access those clinics and free speech rights?
So we have several, and I hope that we will be able to file actual legislation next week. But they involve, first of all, strengthening civil penalties and injunctive relief when there are violations that occur, intimidation or harassment of people seeking to enter the clinics. We look at a current statute we have around dispersal and making sure that police particularly will be able to disperse anybody who in front of a doorway or in front of an access point is gathered in a way that prevents or impedes someone from entering onto the premises. And we certainly intend to work with Planned Parenthood and other agencies to make sure that we enforce the current statutes on the books to provide injunctive relief for people who do get in the way of people's exercising their constitutional rights to get reproductive health care. We're working on that legislation as we speak, and with the governor and the Senate president and the House speaker, we intend to file something next week.
And are you confident that the justices, the high court, sort of has left you enough latitude to do what you need to do to protect access to these clinics?
Well, first of all, we note it's ironic that here are nine justices who never have to go through protesters. They have a very large and expansive buffer zone of their own. So we do feel some of the decision really wasn't rooted in the reality of what happens every day. That has already happened since the buffer zone rule was overturned. So we know they've given us some leeway. We intend to use all of that leeway to protect people's right to enter. And we're also going to continue to watch and monitor so that if we have additional issues that we think can be addressed with further legislation, we're going to continue to do that.
Let me ask you about another high-profile court decision in casino gambling, this one from the state Supreme Judicial Court. It ruled that voters will be allowed to consider a ballot question on the future of casino gambling in the state. What should voters make of the fact that you, as Attorney General, opposed including this on the ballot? The SJC said that argument lacked common sense.
Yeah, I think that this particular discussion around that ballot question is really misread what our role was in that. We have looked at tens of those questions since I've been Attorney General. We make a very preliminary threshold issue about whether a topic is one suitable for inclusion on the ballot. We knew whatever we decided on this particular one that the sides would appeal it. We went immediately to prepare for the question, to get it certified, to bring it up to the Supreme Judicial Court, because we figured if the court agreed with us, then we didn't want anybody to be disadvantaged. Everybody has signatures. Whatever the court was going to do, the parties are in the same position. Don't forget, the court had the opportunity to not just hear our argument, but people on the other side from all of the interests involved to make a call, which we're perfectly satisfied with. It's a final call. Voters now should be focusing on where they wanted to vote to repeal this law or not.
It may be unfair, but one way to spin the story is that you sided with the casinos, with big businesses, and against the democratic process of allowing folks to vote on whether they want casinos. So correct that.
That would be spin, and I would say that's inaccurate, because as we always do on these questions, we look at the facts and the law, we make that limited threshold question. We've decided, as I said, several of these, the only two questions that have gone up on appeal, one around Greyhound Racing and this one, and we knew that there was a lot at stake for every party. So we're going to make the call that we think at the time makes the most sense. We believed that under Article 48, this was a topic potentially that could be excluded. We made our argument to the court. I'm perfectly satisfied with the court's decision, and we're happy to move forward with it on the ballot.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about casinos. You've said that you would oppose repealing the law that made them legal. Why should Massachusetts have casino gambling? Why is it a good idea?
So I've also said from the beginning on this that this is not the first place I would have gone for economic development. I understand why people oppose casinos. I appreciate that there are issues, and I'm the one who said we need a money laundering statute in Massachusetts. We didn't have it. I'm the one who made sure that we looked at other states to have good regulatory and enforcement if we were going to go forward with casinos. And I said if we are going to do it, we want to mitigate all the ills, including addiction issues, and provide for that, as well as promote the economic benefits of it. So my position is as the legislature did, and if the people of Massachusetts decide to go forward, let's mitigate the advantages and make sure that we realize the best economic advantages that we can. If people vote to repeal it, that's fine with me. If people vote to go forward, I'm going to continue to make sure that we provide jobs and access for economic benefits to Massachusetts. But the voters will get to decide, and whatever they decide as governor, I'll make sure that we implement as well as possible.
A general question about your record as Attorney General. In your mind, what part of your record as AG is most indicative of how you would lead the state if you were to be elected governor?
I think it's the part that recognizes and promotes problem solving. It is the part that has allowed me as Attorney General to bring into our office great teams of people who work on issues of energy, clean energy particularly, and keeping utility costs down. Look at what we've been able to do around healthcare issues. We're the only office in the country, and in fact, we've played a major role in the state in doing the transparency and the look at how market clout has raised prices for health care in Massachusetts. Look at how we took on the challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act on behalf of everybody in Massachusetts who wanted to marry who they loved, and we believe that was the right call, even though it was a tough fight. Look what we were able to do as Massachusetts is suffering from the foreclosure crisis. We said we're going to sue, we're going to be successful, we're going to bring money back, and we're going to continue to hold Wall Street's feet to the fire and say, we can't. You know, we want to prevent unnecessary foreclosures. As we speak, we're dealing with people still who are being foreclosed upon who shouldn't be. And we're going to continue, I will continue as governor, to bring talent into the office, to work with our elected officials around the state, to move Massachusetts forward. And I think we can be prosperous and fair. We'll build an economy on our terms this time by investing in our workforce, in our kids, in our schools, make sure that we put out a red carpet for businesses and cut red tape for businesses. And then we'll have an economy that we do on our terms, not on Wall Street's.
I think you just delivered your entire stump speech in that answer, but I'm happy that you did, Attorney General. But let me move on. We're a couple of months away from the September primary. You've got two Democratic opponents, Don Berwick, State Treasurer Steve Grossman, who won the endorsement at the party convention a few weeks ago. He was on our show not long ago, and here's what he said about the choice that voters have between you and him.
And by the way, in comparison to Martha Coakley, I'm going to offer the people a very simple choice. Do you want a progressive job creator, or do you want a career prosecutor? That's really a fundamental choice. The people of the state will make a decision on their own.
So respond to that. Is a career as a lawyer, prosecutor, and AG the best preparation for governor? Steve Grossman seems to be implying that it's not.
Well, I'm really proud of my record as district attorney, not only in cases we brought, but in the problem solving around preventing child abuse, preventing domestic violence. In fact, my experience as the DA in charge of child abuse and later on as the elected DA, I think gives me great insight into how we can do much better with our Department of Children and Families. As Attorney General, I'm really proud of our record in, as I've mentioned, you know, preventing unnecessary foreclosures, making sure that in our business, technology, economic development division, we've been able to work with companies, large and small, around identity theft, around promoting fair practices for business. We've supported keeping labor in business, and by the way, working with businesses. We're glad that we hold businesses accountable who break the law. And certainly in terms of problem solving, how I've been able to approach what Massachusetts is dealing with at the time, bring together the teams in our office and across agencies to make sure that we move ahead. And so I'm really proud of my record as a problem solver, both at the district attorney level and as attorney general. And I've been, you know, as sitting next to the governor, and for the last 8 years, I've seen some of the things we've done well and some things we can do better around oversight and management, and I look forward to doing that.
Well, let me just jump in, because I just want to follow up on the point that Steve Grossman raised and the answer that you just gave, because Grossman and others have suggested that as Attorney General, you've supported legislation at times from a prosecutor's law and order perspective. For example, in 2011, support for a bill to eliminate parole for three-time violent felons. Without getting into the weeds of something like that, I just want to ask you in general about this idea that as governor, you might have to move more to the middle to govern and away from that law and order perspective. Is that a fair point?
Sure. No, I actually think that what I've done in both as DA and as Attorney General, and in always balancing individual rights but also public safety, is taking that long view about what the Constitution requires, but also how we do much better prevention. You know, we're the office in Middlesex, as DA, holding community-based justice meetings to keep kids out of the criminal justice system and make sure they get the help they need, working with families to keep kids in school. As Attorney General, focusing on how we do better prevention and problem solving. And I've talked a lot on the trail about how I think we have too many people in our criminal justice system because we failed them. I knew when I first started in the Lowell District Court that we had people with mental health problems and drug addiction issues who ended up in court because we didn't intervene earlier. And I am committed, as I've said on the trail, to, in 2014, providing for mental and behavioral health addiction issues we see ravaging the state the way we do diabetes and cardiac disease. I actually think my background in this area is a huge strength as a governor to be able to identify those issues and move forward productively about them.
We just have about 30 seconds left, but we're asking all the candidates to tell us something that we haven't already heard about them. Tell us something about Martha Coakley, the person, that many of us might not know, something surprising. What do you do for fun? A personal experience that changed you. What would that be?
Sure. You know, I had the great opportunity between college and law school to live on Martha's Vineyard. It was kind of my year off, and I supported myself by waitressing, by cleaning homes, by mowing lawns. I worked for a not-for-profit company, and a couple things I fell in love with, Martha's Vineyard and the geography there. I worked for a small company that looked for doing well and doing good. It was a not-for-profit that raised money for helping some of the animals and pets on the vineyard. And I think that people would be surprised to know that I actually like musicals, and I like to sing when given the occasion.
All right. Well, why don't you sing us out of this segment? What's your favorite musical?
I love Man of La Mancha, but I'm going to say, Yankee Doodle Dandy should be my song for today.
All right. I'm not going to make you sing it. Martha Coakley, Attorney General for Massachusetts, Democratic candidate for governor, many thanks for joining us. And if
thank
we had Yankee Doodle Dandy queued up, we'd be hearing that right now.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, a most imperfect union, Ilan Stavin's contrarian history of the United States. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.